Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out and click subscribe to show your support. While you're at it, if you're a YouTube user, make sure you enable notifications so they let you know every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes up. Guys, let's talk. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. When I try Blue Chew, I really notice something extra. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door. It's in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. The best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment absolutely free when you use our special promo code, FROPODCAST. Just pay the $5 shipping fee. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code FROPODCAST to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family and you want your name in the shout-outs like Mike and Lansdale, then make sure you check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Sign up today. Don't forget we got loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor gets to co-host an episode of one of our live shows, and our $7.50 per month contributors get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of one of our live shows. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. If you have questions, you have comments, anything you want to talk about, topic in the world of professional wrestling, whatever it is, enable the chat function in whatever streaming service you're using. Send us your questions. We'll talk to you live in the show and address whatever you want us to talk about. If you're a little shy, you want to hold off, or if you come up with a question later, make sure that you put your questions through the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, your comments through that service, and we will get to those in a future episode. I see John the Sports Guy tuning in from Marfa, Texas tonight. Welcome to the show, John, one of our most loyal followers. Thank you so much for joining the show. Don't forget, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, head over to our homepage at frowrestling.com where you can preview all the topics coming to a future episode of the show. So, this week, there's a whole lot of things that have been going on that I think a lot of times get glossed over because we're so WWE-centric, and we have some WWE stuff to get to as well. But I wanted to address a couple things outside of the WWE world tonight. Starting with Chris Jericho, you know, when All Elite Wrestling was, even in its infancy stages, when we all kind of thought they were going to be a thing, and there was rumblings all the way back in October, we were talking about, oh, Chris Jericho and Jim Ross going to be a part of this new promotion. And at that point, it was just all, it was all fodder. We didn't know what was going on. And as a matter of fact, if you listen to the words and things that Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, all of them have been saying, it was really was in the infancy stages. I think Tony Khan saw what happened at All In, really wanted to be a part of something special, and things just fell into place over time. But the reality of the situation is when they brought in Chris Jericho, it gave the first injection of legitimacy to All Elite Wrestling. We know that the pay-per-view, which I can now call a pay-per-view, they've officially signed on to be a pay-per-view show. And as a matter of fact, they announced today that there's distribution in the United Kingdom, so they're going to be able to see it live on pay-per-view. Once we get to that level, which is coming up on the 25th of this month for Double or Nothing, there's a lot of conversation about what can they do to really separate themselves. And one of the things I thought was really interesting and something you've seen kind of a trend in the independent and smaller promotion scene lately is a lot of cross-promotional stuff. But All Elite Wrestling, to my surprise, they made it sound like they made this partnership with AAA. So they're willing to showcase AAA talent on their shows, as in like the Lucha Brothers, etc. They're bringing in people from this Oriental Wrestling Association, OWE, Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, or whatever it is, who are some incredibly talented young men. So I'm glad to see them get some exposure. And you know that Pac, formerly known as Neville in WWE circles, is going to be there, and he holds one of the championships from Dragon Gate over in Japan. But there was a conversation about whether or not All Elite Wrestling was going to partner with New Japan Pro Wrestling because of the long history with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, over there, and then Chris Jericho going there and winning the Intercontinental Championship at the IWGP Intercontinental title last year, and how that might play out. And then New Japan was very clear, like, they're not going to promote with All Elite Wrestling at this point. However, this week, a lot of us have found out that Chris Jericho is booked for New Japan, for Dominion, coming up in June, and he'll be challenging for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in an absolute dream match. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know there's some people on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all those, who throw out comments about Chris Jericho like he's past his prime, over the hill, you know, he's in the twilight of his career, and all those things may be true in comparison to Lionheart Chris Jericho in ECW days, or even Chris Jericho, you know, Monday Night Jericho's character back in WCW days, or even when he first debuted in WWE as far as his energy level. But when it comes to quality of work and being a true professional wrestling performer, I think he's on top of his game now as much as he has been at any point in his career. And that being said, him facing Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Championship is a match that I guarantee you, if you go back 2-3 years, we never would have thought that was going to happen. No chance. First off, we never thought we'd see him in New Japan Pro Wrestling. We thought he was a WWE guy through and through. Then we certainly didn't think he was going to show up at All In. We never thought we'd see him take the Intercontinental Championship from Tetsuya Naito, have a couple other matches with that belt before leaving the promotion, and now returning to the promotion, although he's already signed with All Elite Wrestling. Now, part of his contract, we've heard, was that he would be able to do projects outside of All Elite Wrestling. But I think for a while there, we all just kind of assumed that that was verbiage. You know, in theory, he can do this, but he's not really going to do this. And apparently, that's not true. He's going to be at one of their biggest shows of the year, Dominion, which is the last major, major show before they really kick off the G1 Climax series, which, if you are not familiar with the G1 Climax, one of the most innovative and incredible wrestling tournaments you will ever find. WWE could only dream of being as creative as the G1 Climax is. And so he'll be returning to New Japan for that match. And I think it's incredible for the business, because I really think, with the fans being as smart as they are right now, the diehards, I'm not talking about mainstream wrestling fans. I got into a whole debate about that, and I'll get into that a little bit later with somebody online today, the difference between mainstream wrestling fans and people like you and I, people who tune into podcasts like this and who discuss these topics. But I think for people like us, cross-promotion is the most beautiful thing that could possibly happen to pro wrestling. Seeing Impact Wrestling stars and Lucha Underground stars or Ring of Honor stars all showing up at shows together and having these storylines that are very isolated to their separate brands but then can cross over every once in a while. And I think it opens up the wrestling audience to something that we really never had during the WWE and WCW era. We didn't see a lot of that. I know the last time, before we got into contemporary partnerships with these companies co-promoting, the last time I remember something like this going down was back in 1988, when the AWA and World Class and Continental, all of them got together, and they held Super Clash 3, and they had stars from all their promotions on. They had a unification match with Jerry Lawler and Kerry Von Erich for the WCCW and AWA World Championships and all that. But really, that was an anomaly. Before that, you got to go all the way back to like 83, 84, 85, when the NWA and the AWA used to do some things. You can go a little earlier in 80, 81, 82, when the NWA champion would show up at Madison Square Garden every once in a while. You'd see stuff like Dusty Rhodes coming up from Florida, challenge superstar Billy Graham, things like that. But it wasn't a popular thing. Nowadays, a lot of the shows, they really are so similar, and you get to see some really unique matches that you didn't always think you were going to get to see. Who'd have thought we'd have seen the Lucha Brothers against Rob Van Dam and Sabu? Like, for real. And for those people who are like, Rob Van Dam and Sabu are irrelevant anymore, I got some of those comments when I mentioned them in a previous episode. They looked about as good as they did in their prime the last time I saw them wrestling. If you didn't see the Philadelphia tapings for Impact Wrestling, wait till you do. Sabu put on a clinic. He looked better now than he probably has in his entire career. So keep those things in mind when we think about some of the incredible matches that are happening because of cross-promotion. Now, want to get into some WWE news. The big story of the week is with all the names that are going to be at this Saudi Arabian show. Bill Goldberg being one of them. Everybody knows Goldberg has been signed to do the Saudi Arabia show. We talked about it on our last episode. Word came out this week, courtesy of Randy Orton. So take that with a pinch of salt if you'd like, but I don't often find Randy Orton to be, you know, non-trustworthy. I think he's very much shoots from the heart, and he's claiming that Goldberg is making $2 million for this appearance in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if that's true, but that's what the all the various websites seem to think, is that Goldberg is going to be making this huge chunk of change for this appearance. So the question becomes, well, who do you put him against? And what do you do storyline-wise? So we had some conversations online, and I saw a lot of, you know, banter back and forth on all the different groups that I belong to. People saying, oh, you know, they're going to have him take the WWE Championship from Kofi Kingston, and they're going to have Seth Rollins lose the Universal title to Brock Lesnar, and then the two of them are going to meet at SummerSlam and unify the titles because Fox wants to have one champion. And that's ludicrous. Not going to happen. However, if you pay attention to all the other WWE talent, Bobby Lashley was in the news because he was on Twitter talking about Bill Goldberg returning, and it seems like, you know, I know some of us really would like to see the Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar match we never got a chance to see, but Bill Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, if they let Bobby Lashley actually perform, and I say that because for the last, like, 3-4 months, it's almost like they've put him in just positions to look bad. And Bobby Lashley's a world-class athlete. He's an incredible talent. You know, if you watch his work in TNA, he's just off the charts. And he had a great mixed martial arts career going before he kind of took a step away from that for a while. I think he and Bill Goldberg, if given enough time and given a proper storyline build, could actually make the match interesting. Not that I expect anything but Goldberg to win, because let's face it, as unfair as it may be, Bobby Lashley is just not in a position to be considered a legend killer, and Bill Goldberg is Bill Goldberg. He goes in, he squashes people, and he leaves. But I think they should give him a few more minutes, because I think Lashley could get something good out of Goldberg, and I think Goldberg has more to offer, especially if you're backing up the Brinks truck for $2 million. Now, there was word coming out this week that he was signed more long-term, and that this was a way of keeping him away from All Elite Wrestling. I don't know if I buy that anymore. The Wrestling Observer put out there that they don't believe that that's the case, that this is a one-off. And I believe that. I think it is a one-time deal. But if he's willing to come back for this payday, there are other Saudi Arabian dates. And if he gets a great reception from the people in Saudi Arabia, why not bring him back over and over? As long as he's willing to work it, it's kind of like The Undertaker. Why do we ever question whether The Undertaker is coming back or not? If WWE thinks they need him to pop ratings, he's coming back. That's just the way it works. So I think the match would be interesting, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. Speaking of the Saudi Arabian show, I thought it was funny. I saw Mick Foley was on Twitter and on Facebook putting out that for the right amount of money, he'll come out of retirement and perform in Saudi Arabia. And you know what I find funny about that is that I think what an incredibly cool opportunity that would be for Foley versus The Undertaker, you know, all these years later, have him do one more match. And the problem is I don't think Vince has ever really considered Mick Foley to be a draw enough to pay him to be there. But if the guy, if the Crown Prince is so into these 80s and 90s and early 2000s wrestlers, Mankind was huge. Like, let's be honest here. He was an incredible influence in 95, 96, 97, 98. So there's no reason to think that he wouldn't be very over in Saudi Arabia. So, hey, as ludicrous as it seems, and as much as I'm sure Mick Foley was joking about it when he put it out there, I wouldn't mind seeing it, especially if it was the right angle, you know, if he was going to do something with The Undertaker or something of that nature. Or if they're going to have another greatest Royal Rumble match, because that ugly green belt needs to make a return. I actually kind of like the ugly green belt, but if they're going to do that, then he would be perfect for something like that. Short appearance, pay him a little bit of money, get him out on there, out on the ring, let him do his, you know, his 5 or 6 moves that he's so popular for, the running knee in the corner, bust out Socko, get knocked out, whatever. But I think it'd be cool. Just a little nostalgia added to the show. I want to talk about a few side things, things that don't get a lot of coverage. Aero Lucha, which for anybody who goes to our homepage, frowrestling.com, you'll notice I'm a minority stakeholder in Aero Lucha. I've put my few bucks in to be part owner of the company just because I wanted to be able to say, hey, I own a professional wrestling company. But they had news announced today that Ron Harris, you know, if you're familiar with Ron and Don Harris or Jacob or Eli Blue or what Skull and Eight Ball, whatever words or faction names or stage names they used in their various incarnations in WWE and WCW, Ron Harris is now the new president of Aero Lucha. He has a lot of experience. He was one of the first people hired for Impact Wrestling. They had a press release they put out today to all the stockholders. I'm one of them, so I got the press release. That he's taken over the company and trying to expand. They just signed a partnership with a major distribution and development company. So hopefully at some point we'll get to see that Aero Lucha brand. Speaking of Lucha Libre and that style of work, Angelico, who is a huge star for Lucha Underground, he fought to get his freedom from his Lucha Underground contract. He got it, and he has already signed with All Elite Wrestling. So they have acquired yet another incredible aero, like acrobatic, high energy, interesting, independent talent. And then to go along with that, Jack Swagger is having his next Bellator fight. Jake Hager is having his next fight this weekend. And they were doing a press conference with him and talking to him about different things and what's going on in the world of wrestling. He said something to the effect of, you know, you can't be away too long or you lose your momentum, your name recognition, that kind of thing. And he mentioned that there were some guys from All Elite there at the presser, and that they'll be at the fight. And he also said that he'd be wrestling for somebody, and he threw out a comment about, like, a young buck, you know? So it almost teased the All Elite Wrestling tie-in. I would not be surprised to see him show up there. He's the current Lucha Underground champion, but let's face it, Lucha Underground may be dying a slow death. So him signing with them, to me, that obviously it's not a Chris Jericho-level signing, but he is a legitimate athlete. He was a star athlete at Oklahoma. He was incredible in WWE. Even though he was booked in a lot of times comedic roles, he still was an athletically gifted young man, and I think he didn't really get a fair shake in WWE because he didn't know how to create a character based around his strengths, and it could hide his weaknesses. Look, he's not a huge talker, but neither is Brock Lesnar, and Brock is over, you know? So, good for them if they sign him. I hope he gets the opportunity. It could be a very lucrative and cool situation for All Elite Wrestling. Willie Mack last week signed his deal with Impact Wrestling. He's going to sign him through 2021. And I know Nick Aldis, the gentleman who we did our interview with, make sure you check that out at ProWrestling.com on YouTube. I know Nick Aldis, the NWA World Champion, was very much disappointed that Willie Mack signed with Impact Wrestling because he's not a huge fan of the way they sign talent and use talent, and he pretty much was wishing him well on his future endeavors in a way. And Willie Mack sounds like he's happy about it. He's excited to be in a company that he feels like is putting on some of the best wrestling action anywhere in the world right now, and he wants to be a part of that process. And he did make it clear he's looking to collect some championships, which would include the Impact Wrestling World title, which if you paid attention or if you had the opportunity to go to the tapings in Philadelphia, maybe he's getting closer to that goal because it sounds like they're pushing him pretty hard coming out of those tapings. But good for him. You know, Impact Wrestling seems to be, you know, as much as everybody talks about AEW and WWE signing all these guys, Impact has been snatching up talent, a lot of talent lately. So is Ring of Honor. So they got the message, you know, All Elite Wrestling's coming, and they're thinking to themselves, you know what, if I want to secure my business, I better start signing these guys. So, thankfully, it looks like that's what they're doing. Bully Ray, he was in the news talking about what his feelings and theories are about Dean Ambrose or John Moxley's situation. For anybody who hasn't seen the video online of John Moxley announcing his return to the independent scene, he's already taking bookings, which tells me that it's probably not a work with WWE. But Bully Ray thought, because of the production value of the promo that he put out, it easily could be WWE, letting him be reintroduced as John Moxley and thereby creating a whole new set of storylines, characters, etc. The problem I have is I feel like there's nothing left for him in WWE. And don't get me wrong, I love seeing him perform, and I think it's a huge loss for WWE not to have him. But at the same time, there's so much he could do elsewhere. You know, there's a rumor this week that he was possibly already negotiating with Impact Wrestling, where he could reunite with Sami Callihan. More power to him if he chooses to do that. Like we said a few minutes ago, Impact Wrestling's putting out some great stuff, but I would really like to see him and Kenny Omega get in the ring. I really would. I think that would be easily a top flight level match. He's not going to do stuff with people like the Young Bucks because he's not a tag team wrestler there. Unless, of course, you put him with somebody like Jimmy Havoc or something like that. But I almost think that would take away from his brand name recognition. But WWE they booked him so strong when he left the company. You almost got the impression, and Bubba Ray Dudley got the impression that it's a work, that he's coming back, he's just taking some time off, and that's the reason WWE left him so strong as he exited the company, is so that when they bring him back, he still has momentum. I don't buy that. Not with him taking all these indie bookings, and not with all the rumblings going on about Impact and about AEW. I just don't see it. Viking Raiders, the NXT tapings, they are going to relinquish those NXT Tag Team Championships. I think it's a horrible way to do business. You know, back in the day when you were leaving one company to go to another, you always dropped your belt because you obviously couldn't be WWE champion and go to WCW, hence the whole Montreal Screwjob thing. And so, but that's not the case anymore. The NXT brand is a WWE brand. You're not going anywhere. And there's no reason, if they're going to have you for months be on Raw and SmackDown, you could have easily done a few shows on NXT to drop the tag team titles to the next team who deserves them and go that route. Instead, they're gonna relinquish their championship. I think it makes them look weak on their way out the door. And I don't like that. I really don't. Now, I see how strong they're being pushed on Raw, but let's face it, who's on Raw that matters? What, the Usos? Who just got squashed by a tag team that's never appeared before, you know, in Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan, which, by the way, I think that's an incredibly stupid move as well. But then again, I guess if you're going to keep the championship on Kofi Kingston, you got to do something of substance with Daniel Bryan. Maybe giving him a tag team championship run can allow him to do something with this echo-friendly Daniel Bryan version. But I don't know. It's a little weird, but we'll have to see what they do with the Viking Raiders. I think they'll be tag team champions very quickly, which sometimes I think is a blessing in disguise. Sometimes I think it's a curse. A lot of expectations. You come out, you get the championship, and then the talent around them is really not on par with them. So then it's not as engaging. It's not as exciting as it could be. Who wants to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 36? Well, that question was answered on Twitter when Matt Riddle made it clear he wants to be the man to retire Brock Lesnar. Now, I don't see any way for WWE to build Matt Riddle to the level to defeat Brock Lesnar next year. I just don't see that. However, the word on the street is that Brock wants to retire next year at WrestleMania 36. So I don't think if Matt Riddle ever get his chance, if he doesn't get it next year. However, I don't see any time for them to call him up. He's still, look, I know he had an incredible career on the indie scene, and I'm supportive of everything he did in the independent world. But at the same time, he's not a main attraction. Heck, the NXT audience in a lot of shows, there's been conversations about how people just don't really get his character. So I don't think he's anywhere close to being ready to come out and face Brock Lesnar. But then the question becomes, well, who do you put against Brock for his last match at WrestleMania? And there's not a lot of names on that list. Maybe that's where you do the Bobby Lashley match. Maybe you could take the next 6, 8, 9 months to really try to build Lashley to being a credible threat to Brock. Do you put in Lars Sullivan, who's in the news this today? A bunch of old racially charged hate messages that apparently, supposedly, he posted on a bodybuilding blog. I say supposedly because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have proof that it was him. I suspect it was him. It makes a lot of sense that it would be him. But they're saying they don't know for sure. One person who compiled all the information was saying, hey, look, you know, there's pictures of him from years ago all the way through now. It's got to be him. And I suspect it may be. Big E was on Twitter responding to a fan asking if he had seen the information, and he said, you know, WWE's aware of it, and if it's true, think about it. He's going to have to, you know, work in an environment where there's tons of minorities, and he's right. So I hope Lars Sullivan is better than that, but if he's not, I can't imagine him being the long-term solution for WWE if he has those kinds of backgrounds and tendencies. But at the same time, he's somebody you may be able to build up to end the career of Brock Lesnar. I don't know that I would do that. I don't know that he's ready for that, especially with his anxiety issues early this year, but we'll have to wait and see. WWE star leaving soon. That would be Rhino. His contract runs out in July. He's already taking bookings for IWC, where he's a former world champion. And he was in the news this week because he said WWE offered him a contract double what he makes now, and he still turned it down because he doesn't want to just sit on the sidelines and be sent home with a downside guarantee. He wants to help new talents. He wants to help cultivate new people, go out and find the next Seth Rollins, find the next AJ Styles, help get them going further in their careers, and then eventually get them to WWE. And he has some independent ventures he wants to tamper with and play around with. So more power to him. I hope Rhino does something of substance. I know he mentioned he might want to do something with Impact, with Ring of Honor, with New Japan, with AEW. We'll have to wait and see if any of that comes true. He's not a spring chicken anymore, but in a lot of ways, a lot like Chris Jericho, he doesn't seem to have slowed down much. I know his body mass has increased, but his in-ring skill seems to be pretty solid. So hopefully somebody gives him a legitimate opportunity to contribute, because I think he still can in a lot of good ways. Bray Wyatt in the news saying how much he wants to bring Luke Harper to WWE TV and make him a part of the Firefly Funhouse. I'm done. I know the first week or a week and a half or so, people were like, oh, this is different. It's fresh. It's not my thing. I'm not a fan. I like Bray Wyatt a ton. I would much rather see him in the ring, not in these stupid vignettes. It's a waste of an incredible talent. He's been off TV for like 9 months. You know, as far as wrestling, we need to get him into a ring. And he needs to be in a decent, high-profile match. You're wasting an incredible talent, some of the best years of his wrestling career, on this dumb stuff. And I hope we get away from it and get into something more serious very, very soon. This is not like the Fashion Files. That was fun and silly. And it was with two guys who really didn't have anything else going on. And let's face it, weren't the size of guys that WWE typically pushes on the main roster. So I was okay with the Fashion Files. This I'm not. I want to see Bray Wyatt wrestle. I mean, he's an incredible in-ring performer. I want to see that. Just my opinion. And Becky Lynch in the news. Final topic we'll talk about today is Becky Lynch issuing a challenge to Sasha Banks, who earlier in the week had issued a challenge to Tessa Blanchard, both via Twitter. Now, here's the thing. I think Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks is something that should really happen no matter what. I think that's just waiting to happen. Getting her to come back to the company, that's going to be the challenge. We've all heard that she's, you know, thinking about sitting out the remaining parts of her contract or whatnot. I think that's not the best decision for her career, but if that's what she's going to do, she's going to do it. The reason I'm bringing this up and talking to it about it at length is because I got into a great conversation with a gentleman on a Facebook wrestling fan page, and all about the perspectives on Sasha Banks. I mean, a lot of people out there complaining that Sasha Banks is such a crybaby, this, that, and the other. There's another camp that says, you know, they support her 100% because, you know, she's every bit as good or better than Charlotte, and Charlotte's handed everything because of her dad's name and all this stuff. People, I'm just going to tell you the way I see it. I have to do it. They're paid actors. I know it's athletic. I do. I get it. I'm not one of those guys that says wrestling's fake. Obviously, I wouldn't have this podcast if I thought wrestling was all a bunch of junk and bunk. But they are paid performers to put on an athletically entertaining performance. When we start talking about it's not fair, she hasn't held the belt long enough. What is the belt? Let's be honest. What is the belt? Because the belt is decided by a 70-something-year-old man who is out of touch with the fans to begin with. But let's go further back than that. Let's be honest. I said in a post that I put on Facebook, I said, you know, I'm going to rattle off some names. SD Jones, Iron Mike Sharp, Killer Tim Brooks. These are all people who were glorified jobbers their entire career. Now, the reality is their entire career in WWE or WCW or NWA, they were jobbers. When they were in little tiny territories, Iron Mike Sharp, there's pictures online of him as a champion. Okay, so clearly he had wrestling skill, and if you watch Mike Sharp, he was a glorified jobber nonstop in WWE, but he always had in-ring skill. He was booked to lose. He was the meat. You fed him to whoever the next big star was. They beat him up every Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and he helped get people over, but he was still so wildly respected in the industry. SD Jones was the guy who got squashed by King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 1, like a 10-second match, you know? But he's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame, and I actually am okay with him. I hate Coco Beware being in there, and I hate Hillbilly Jim, but I'm okay with SD Jones because SD Jones had a role to play. People marketed people like Coco Beware and Hillbilly Jim to be stars. No one ever marketed SD Jones to be a star. He had a role to play. He did it, and he did it as good or better than anybody. He was beat up all the time. And then from there, we'll go move on to people like adorable Adrian Adonis. People like that, people like George the Animal Steel, who were mid-card talents at best, but in-ring work, Adrian Adonis especially, before he put on the weight, was an incredible in-ring performer. Technically sound, Playboy Buddy Rose, technically sound, incredible workers, yet never world champions. Then you get into the next crop of people. People like Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rowdy Roddy Piper held not one world championship throughout his entire career. Never. But he's a Hall of Famer. Guaranteed. First ballot was in. You know what I mean? He was one of those people that if you said, is Roddy Piper Hall of Famer? Yeah, duh. Because how could he not be? Heck, WrestleMania may not have ever been a success ever if he wasn't such a heat seeker, somebody who can go out there and get the attention of the crowd and make people genuinely hate him so much. I remember hearing him say, did people pay to see Hulk Hogan, or did people pay to see Hulk Hogan beat up Roddy Piper? And I really do believe most people paid to see Hulk Hogan beat up Roddy Piper. He was a heat seeker, and he wasn't world champion. So once we talk about Sasha Banks and, oh, she's had championship reigns, but she hasn't had them long enough, and it's ridiculous as hard a worker as she is. Roddy Piper wrestled from the age of 15. And he took his lumps throughout the industry. Yes, he had the United States Championship, the Mid-Atlantic title. He got an Intercontinental Championship run for a couple months before WrestleMania 8. He had a Tag Team Championship run for like a day and a half, you know, in the twilight of his career. Yeah, he's had a few belts, but he's never been world champion. Let's talk about Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks was the NXT Women's Champion, first one to the main event and NXT TakeOver event with Bayley. You know, she was the first woman to main event Raw in a women's match. She was the first involved in the first women's Hell in a Cell, the first women's Elimination Chamber. She was the longest entrant in the women's Royal Rumble for the first time ever. She's done all these firsts. If you remember, she was one of the women who performed overseas in the Middle East. Like, that's groundbreaking. Most recently, she was the first women's tag team champion with Bayley. And she had four women's championship reigns. Incidentally, there's always people who say she hasn't been given anything recently. She challenged for the women's championship at this year's Royal Rumble. She did get a world championship opportunity. Charlotte was on the other brand. Becky was on the other brand. Asuka was on the other brand. So she did what they weren't stealing her spot then. She was the world championship competitor. But what are you going to do? Take the belt off Ronda Rousey? No. And here's the reality of the situation. If you look at Sasha Banks and what she brings to the company, she's the number four merchandise mover in WWE. So they have to book people according to how much money they're going to generate. This is a business. Number one merchandise mover is Becky Lynch. So that's why she's champion. Now, let's just say for conversation's sake, say she only had one belt because she eventually became Becky two belts. But she was originally, it's a one belt, one per show thing. You have the number one merchandise owner is one champion. The number two merchandise owner is a champion on the other brand. The number three merchandise person is the person who's challenging for those belts. The number four person, she got the next best storyline, the first ever women's tag team champion. She's gotten opportunities. Are they as bountiful for the world championship as Charlotte? No, of course they're not. But does it really matter which championship she holds? She can have a good match with almost anybody, except maybe Nia Jax, because that feud was terrible. But I want you to understand something. For those people who say that Sasha Banks didn't get a long enough championship reign, Sasha Banks' four women's championship reigns, forget the NXT championship, the four women's championship reigns were longer than Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Andre the Giant's championship reigns combined. Okay? It's not about how many championships they give her. Let's face it, she didn't earn a championship. Somebody in the back said, let's put the belt on her. And then a couple days later, like, yeah, it's not, I don't see the money there. Let's put back on Charlotte or whoever. That's how the business has worked from the beginning, going all the way back to the Carney days. You find the person who makes the money, and that's who you push. Look, Bruno Sammartino, he was drawing money with almost everybody, not because everybody was worthy, because he was worthy. He drew the money. When you put him in the ring with somebody who was drawing better than him, take the belt off him. When people started to dwindle in the audience, transition the belt to Pedro Morales for a while. You know, when Bruno got the belt back, you know, superstar Billy Graham, you know what I mean? Like, there's the evolution of the business is the belt goes where the money goes. Hulk Hogan, you know why Hulk Hogan was the focal point of WWE for so long? Because he made the money. You know what John Cena was so big for so long? He number one merchandise mover. Stone Cold, number one merchandise mover. Stone Cold's been retired now for years. He's still one of their better merchandise movers, and he's not even an active competitor. So there's a reason people were comparing Sasha Banks and CM Punk and Stone Cold, because CM Punk and Stone Cold had different times had left WWE under circumstances. That's not comparable either. Stone Cold Steve Austin put the entire company on his shoulders while the Monday Night Wars were going on, and he carried that company. Yes, there were other characters, major players that were developing at that time, but nobody was as hot as Stone Cold, and he did it while he had a severely injured neck. And he put himself out there constantly, week in, week out. He took risks. He broke through the glass ceiling, so to speak, and took wrestling to a whole new stratosphere. When you do all that, and you come to the wrestling tapings one week, and somebody says, hey, listen, we're going to put you in a ring with this rookie who we're trying to build, Brock Lesnar, in 2003. We're not going to build it at all. We're just going to have you go out there, and you're going to put this guy over. You know what the problem with that is? WCW did that once. It was when they put the world championship on Goldberg over Hulk Hogan. And you know what they did? They did it on an episode of Nitro. No build. And they missed all that pay-per-view revenue. Steve Austin is brilliant. It took place only a year and a half after WCW screwed that up. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. Not because he doesn't mind putting somebody over. It didn't make business sense. So Stone Cold left. With all that he brought to the industry, he had a right to have some creative say in his character. CM Punk, 400-day reign as champion. Back issues, misdiagnosed by a doctor, all the things that we've heard about Punk, all these incredibly bad stories of what was going on at the end of his tenure in WWE, and on top of that, WWE trying to push Dave Bautista instead of the people who rightfully belonged in the main event at WrestleMania, that led to him walking away. Again, somebody who had a lot more clout and had done a lot more for the business. Sasha Banks is incredible. I'm a huge fan. I think she's one of, if not the best female wrestler in the world, including Charlotte and Becky. But she's a character that is portrayed on an entertainment program. If you're an actor and you get booked to work a show, you don't go to the director and say, listen, you're killing off my character. I'm leaving. I'm not doing this. No, that's what we're talking about here. Did they put their body on the line? Of course they do, but they still follow storylines. They have stories written for them by writers. You do what the writers say. It's not personal. She's still getting paid. She's the fourth highest women's wrestler talent for moving merchandise. She's still making money, good money. She's a celebrity. You're just not the one they want in the world championship picture right now. And the reality is they actually wanted to split up Boss and Hug so she could move back into the women's championship picture because they, now with Ronda Rousey taking time off, they were going to be leaning on somebody like her. But she didn't want that. Now she wanted the tag title reign that she was promised. Well, plans changed because they had a bigger role for her. So, just my opinion. I understand why people get frustrated, but at the end of the day, you're paid to do a job entertaining the fans, and right now the only people being hurt are her fans. Because they're the ones who want to see her. WWE is going to keep trucking along, with or without Sasha Banks. Okay? And they're going to have plenty of female talents. They've got one of the deepest female rosters in the history of the business. And they're going to keep moving. So the only people missing out are her fans, who want to see her in the ring. I implore you, Sasha Banks, if for any reason somebody tags you in a post about my show, please come back. I don't think she's a whiner. I don't think she's a baby. I don't think she's pouting. I don't think she's just leaving over creative. I'm sure there's a lot of frustrations going on in her world, and I appreciate all of those. But WWE's going to hold you to the term of your contract anyways, so just come back and entertain your fans who want to see you. They adore her, and it increases her salary if she shows up, because then she gets a residual benefit from being appearing on DVDs and things of that nature. So I hope we get to see her come back sooner rather than later. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects used in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen. AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for servicing all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users, totally free. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us tonight. If you want more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on the world of professional wrestling, or check out my blog, Infro's Corner, on frowrestling.com. If you're an indie wrestling fan, support indie wrestling, check out the indie events tab on frowrestling.com. And until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one. Take care.